priest, and then, of course, Samuel, you know, becomes the king or whatever, the ruler of Israelites. And then we get into the first official king, King Saul. And then, of course, we know how that story goes. Then we get into King David. And so we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit worked in those people's lives this morning. And so I'm going to pull out just snippets. If you want to go home and read more of it today, you can. But I'm just going to kind of give you a broad overview of these two kings and how God used them in mighty ways. So beginning in verse 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, "Has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance?" And so we see that Saul is anointed as king. And then go to verse 6 with me. "The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person." And then down to verse 10. "When he and his servants arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he joined in their prophesying." And then let's go to chapter 16 this morning. So we've seen Saul get anointed as king. Now we're going to see David is going to be anointed as king. Verses 13 through 14. "So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him." And then let's go to chapter 28. And we're going to read verses 17 and 18 this morning. And of course, this involves Saul here as you hear these words. "The Lord had done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David, because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites. The Lord has done this to you today." So we see the giving, the anointing to Saul, and we see the anointing and giving of David as king, and then we see the taking away from Saul as well, that anointing. And so the word of the Lord, let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you bring this word to life. Lord, we pray for those that have gathered here today and those that are listening online, wherever they are. Lord, may you bless them with your Spirit. Open their hearts and minds and souls to receive your teaching today. Lord, I pray too that these words are your words and never mine. And may you fill me with that same Spirit. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. I got a picture I want to show you, and you're going to think, well, that's pretty bland, but what can you tell me about a yield sign? Roll that around in your mind this morning. How many of you, when you see that sign, that you begin to slow down? How many of you, when you see that sign, you look twice? Just to double check to make sure. Right? How many of you proceed slowly through a yield sign when there's nobody coming because you just don't want to hit anybody? Right? As you come to that sign, you know, as you drive. How many of you find that when you approach a yield sign, it causes you to look more intently than a stop sign? Anybody ever have that feeling where you just get this feeling of unsureness or whatever, and that you stop, you know, you look both ways and you proceed? But a yield sign is like, well, what if somebody is coming? You look both ways twice and you're just not quite sure, and you're a little more guarded, you're a little more cautious when you go through a yield sign when you're driving. I want you to think about your spiritual life in those same types of terms this morning. What kind of yielding do you do to the Holy Spirit in your life? All right, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And we're going to look at these two men, Saul and David, and how they lived their lives. And I hope and I pray that you take something home here today that you can apply to your life, and I think you will. And so that's my challenge for you this morning. Have we learned to yield to the Holy Spirit, to its leading in our lives? And so we're going to look at that, and I think that you'll enjoy the difference in these two men and how God used them in great ways. And so for you and I, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit, He wants to be active in your life, and he wants to do things in the kingdom of God with your life today and tomorrow and the days to come. He wants to be active in your life. So I want you to keep that in mind this morning as we move forward with this message. But in order for us to do that, we need to learn to yield to the Spirit. We gotta understand the Spirit in our life, what to look for, and you're going to learn some of these things of how should I live life that I can understand the Spirit speak to me so I can yield to what God's calling me to do. All right? And so we're going to look at these two people's lives, and you're going to see a great difference, but God used them both fundamentally for his people as leaders. And so, but you're going to see one that yielded and one that did not yield to God's ways. And you're going to see that drastic, stark difference this morning. So let me talk first about, if you have your Bible open this morning, chapter 10, verse 6, I want to talk about Saul first this morning in his life. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with him, and you will be changed into a different person. All right? That's what Samuel's speaking to Saul, and God's given him the words to speak, and he's going to use Saul to lead the Israelites. And here's some key differences I want you to be aware of, and sometimes a lot of people don't understand this, but in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was not poured out on everybody yet like we live today in the New Testament, and so God would give portions of the Spirit at certain times or certain events or certain situations. God would pour his Spirit out into certain things, and he did that in Saul's life. When God needed Saul to move, God would pour the Spirit upon him, and Saul would go do what God called him to do. Most of the time, you'll learn in just a little bit that he didn't always do that in his life. So Saul found himself at odds with God. And when he began to disobey, in fact, several times in Scripture, we'll hear about this. Things begin to change with him and God. Because Saul, he would not yield to what God wanted him to do. And I'll tell you that story in just a little bit. If you're with me, here's 1 Samuel 15. And let me jump to the next one. Here we go. It's on the screen in the green box this morning if you want to read along with me. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and he's not carried out my instructions. There were two important occasions in Scripture that we read that Saul fell short of what God required him to do. He laid it out there, he told them what had to happen, and he didn't do it. Let me show you the first time. 1 Samuel chapter 13, if you want to read it. I will not read it to you today. But one time he grew impatient. How many of you grow impatient waiting for people to come? Have you ever had that? Where you're parked somewhere and you're going to meet somebody at a certain time and they're not coming, and so you decide to go ahead and go on your own. Has anybody ever done that in here? Come on now, be honest with me. We all do that. Well, guess what? Saul, he's waiting for Samuel so they can sacrifice the Lord, and Saul's like, man, Samuel's not showing up. He's not showing up. I'm going ahead and I'm going to sacrifice without Samuel, who's, by the way, is the priest. All right? What do you think that did to Saul? Yeah, he didn't have the right to do that. And he wasn't supposed to do that. And Samuel shows up and he gets on Saul. What did you do? What have you done? Because he didn't follow the leading of the Lord. Samuel said, wait for me, Saul. And he didn't wait. He took it upon himself. Right? We might call that getting ahead of God in circumstances and occasions that we might have in our life. And thank goodness this morning that we preach from the grace of Jesus Christ, because you and I also do these things from time to time in our lives. We get ahead of God. Being out of step with Jesus could be another way that I could bring that to you this morning. And just let me say this to you. Sometimes that can be a very dangerous place to live. When we're in those types of situations. right? We're out of step with God or the leading of the Holy Spirit, because in Saul's life, it cost him his kingship, and eventually it cost him his life when he disobeyed God. It didn't end well for him. David's experience was much different than Saul's. If you're with me, this one also, I think I have it on the screen in the blue box this morning. 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." And here's a key difference. God gave the Spirit to David in its fullness the entire time of his life he lived upon this earth. He walked in the Spirit every day, just like you and I are today. There's a key difference there between Saul and David. I want to point that out to you this morning. But the way that they acted with it is so different as well, and you're going to learn about that this morning. The Spirit came upon Samson and Saul, but it was only temporary. Remember Samson, the long hair? What did Samson do? Congregation? Yeah, he cut his hair, lost his power, whatever, and at the end, he begged for it back, and God did that, and he destroyed the building, whatever, with his might and his strength, and he killed many there for that. And, you know, the Spirit was given in certain cases back then, but David, it was poured out on, and he walked with the Spirit every day of his life, just like you and I have today. You know, I was writing this past week, and I thought, you know, if Saul really wanted to, he could have turned to God, and he could have said, "God, I need your Spirit to help me through this. God, I need your Spirit to help me do whatever that God is calling him to do." If he didn't understand something, or maybe he's getting nervous or anxious about something in his life, he could have sought God. I don't know why he didn't. Maybe because his heart was corrupt, I'm not sure. But he didn't seek out God in his life when those things came in. In fact, he ignored some of God's commands in his life. But with David, the Spirit came into him. It abode on him continuously. I want you to understand that this morning in your life, because that experience, it didn't end well for Saul, the way he lived his life, but it does go well for David. One of the reasons for this was that David recognized his need for the Holy Spirit. He recognized his need for God. And when he got in situations, he sought out God in his life. Now, you as a believer, when you find yourself in situations, what are some of the first things that you do in your life? Do you seek God first? Do you go to prayer? Do you talk to a good Christian friend and listen to counsel? God often speaks through other people to you and I. Do we listen? So let me ask you a question this morning. Who is the Holy Spirit to you? All right, and I got a little story for you this morning. But I want you to think about this question as I go through this story with you this morning. Of who's the Holy Spirit in your life? This is Dr. Walter Wilson. Walter was a Christian. He was a believer. But he once visited a godly man in France. I'll tell you more about Walter's life here in just a little bit. But one day he was visiting with this man, and this man asked him, said, "Mr. Wilson, what does the Holy Spirit mean to you?" And he answered with these words, which are the pat answers that many of us might answer from time to time, right? "He's one of the persons of the Godhead, the Trinity, the third person of the Trinity." "Yes," replied the man, "that is true. But I asked you, what does the Holy Spirit mean to you?" And again, Dr. Wilson replied, "He's my teacher. He's the third person of the Trinity." And the godly man looked at him again kindly. "You still not answered my question. What does the Holy Spirit mean to you?" And then for a moment he stopped. And then these words came out of his mouth. "He's nothing to me. I have no personal relationship to the Holy Spirit, and have lived without him in my Christian walk." And in that moment, Dr. Wilson was changed forever because he realized that he needed to rely upon the Holy Spirit in his life to do the things that God called him to do. Let me tell you the rest of Walter's story. It was the turning point. Walter L. Wilson was born May 27, 1881, in Aurora, Indiana, the son of a Methodist minister. He was the preacher whenever neighborhood children played church. Any of you ever played church when you were little, right? He was the preacher everybody used in that area. He was popular and well-known. He held evangelistic street meetings at the age of 16. He began preaching the Word of God. And after medical training, he began practice as a physician in Webb City, Missouri in 1904. Everywhere he went, he told people how Jesus Christ could transform their lives, how it made such a difference in his life, and he shared his story. His life was lived that he could win souls for Jesus Christ. He was a pioneer in radio. He initiated his own radio program in 1924. And he founded and for 40 years pastored Calvary Bible Church in Kansas City. I've never been to this church, but I've heard about this church before. Maybe you heard about this college. He founded and served as president of present-day Calvary Bible College. Anybody heard of Calvary Bible College? Yeah, you've heard of it, haven't you? He founded that. And here's my point as well this morning. By the way, he wrote 22 books in his lifetime. And he traveled widely as a conference speaker. He was very much sought after in the way that he preached and he stood for the Word of God and the way that he could tell his story about how God came in through the Holy Spirit and he changed his life forever. I want you to look at the screen this morning and you see the verse that I have up there, Ephesians 3, verse 20. God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. I want to tell you this morning that Dr. Wilson was that verse. All right, how many of you know the story that I'm talking about King David this morning, of David and Goliath from Scripture? What happened with Goliath? Right? David took five smooth stones, and on the first stone he dropped Goliath. You see, that's what that Bible verse references. With God and the Holy Spirit, you will do immeasurably more than anybody could ever think of. That's you and I. And most of the time, this might be a little hard for you to handle this morning. I think most of the time, we're sitting on our hands. When God says, I need you out on the front line. People need to hear the Word of God more than ever today. You've been given the tools to go. But that's what I'm talking about. When you decide to yield to the Holy Spirit, you will do immeasurably more than you've ever imagined through Jesus Christ. I hope you're interested in that this morning. Let me give you some tools. Want to know what David did to stay so close to God? Want to know why the Spirit was so alive in David in his life? And let me show you how he lived his life. And this is an example that you and I can do as well. So there's the difference between Saul's life and David's life. Okay, look what David did. And I have him listed on there. David communed with God on a daily basis. He spent times out in the hills around Bethlehem, and he just sought out God and his beauty and you know, all those types of things. Right? What are you doing in your life? Where do you seek God out? Where do you put time away in your life that you can do those things on a daily basis? And here's the one I really like. David became a worshiper of God. I want you to hear how he worshiped. He worshiped with his heart. He became a praiser of God. He wrote several songs in our Bible. How many songs do you think that he wrote? 73 psalms that he wrote that you and I still read today. Isn't that amazing? He wrote them, and you still get to read them, and you get to sing them. That was David. He became a worshiper of God. And this is how he lived his life. I have a verse on the bottom of the screen in Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. Everything I do will be for the Lord. That's how he lived his life. That's how the Holy Spirit filled him and worked through him. Now, let me make one disclaimer here this morning. Most of you know that if you know David well enough, he committed a sin, didn't he? Probably many sins with Bathsheba. He committed adultery. But yet God's grace and God's forgiveness covers those sins. Just like you and I. We can find sins in our own lives and we commit sins and those things happen. But God's grace through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, that erases those things and we ask for forgiveness. David's no different than you and I. God forgave him for those things. God loved him, but he loved God deeply in his life. In fact, David loved God so much that when he became king, he brought the Ark of the Covenant back into the capital city of Jerusalem, back into the temple. The presence of God was there. Not because David wanted it, because he wanted the people of God to be in the presence of God. That's how important he thought it was in his life. That's what it's about. David fell in love with God. David sought to please God in his life. He yielded to the Spirit. He listened to what God instructed him to do in his life. David memorized the Word in his life. Of course, we know he didn't have the Bible like you and have today, but they probably had scrolls and stuff that they read off of. But he knew the Word well enough that he had it memorized in his head, the Scripture, God's Word. I want you to think about your relationship with the Holy Spirit in a different way today, all right? I'm going to use two different analogies. I want you to think of a storage principle and a contact principle this morning. Let me explain them. How many of you in here drive a car or pick up our vehicle? Right? Just about all of you do. You have a gas tank or a fuel tank on that vehicle, right? And you put gas or you put diesel in there and you drive about. See, that is a storage principle idea. Now, I want you to think about an electric train. How many of you have been on the L train in Chicago at all? Not that you want to go there right now anyway, right? Because everything's going. But how many of you have been in a bigger city where you ride an electric train? Anybody done that in your life? Yes, right? Yeah, I've been on the L train in Chicago and did that in different cities throughout the United States. But what do you know about the L train or electric train is that it has to stay connected to the source of power how often to run? All the time. That's the point I want to make with you this morning. If you're going to live for Jesus Christ, you need to live a contact life that you're connected to Jesus Christ all the time in your life. You cannot be a storage person because I think a lot of people live the storage life. You come to church, you fill your tank, you go home the rest of the week, you don't spend any time with God, and you come back here to get your tank refilled. And God said, that is not how you should live. You need to live the contact life. You're in touch every day with God in your life, in prayer, listening to the Spirit. That's yielding to God, right? It's Monday, it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday, it's Thursday, it's Friday, it's Saturday. It's when you're busy, it's when you're not busy, it's when you're on vacation, it's when you're at work, whatever it might be. That's how it should look. The contact principle. The next time you get on an electric train, you'll never view it the same, will you? That's how God wants us to live, be in the Word. I have one more story for you this morning. General Stonewall Jackson. Now, if you know your history well enough, you know that he's a Confederate soldier. And in this time in the age that we live in, by the way, I'm using this example to show you something this morning because this probably would be a controversial topic today and probably is with the Confederacy going on in the world that we live in today. But I want you to listen to what I have to tell you with what he did with his military one night. When General Stonewall Jackson's army once found itself on the wrong side of the river, They had to cross the river to get to the other side, obviously, to continue in their battle. And so it was a good-sized river, and the water's flowing pretty good. And so he gathered up his engineers, and he said, "Men, we need to figure out some kind of a bridge to get to the other side of the river. And you have to do this tonight." So they went to their tent, a couple of guys did, and they started figuring out, how are we going to design this bridge? And we got to get our horses and our carts across, our artillery's got to get across, and we need to get this planned out so we can move in the morning. So then he went to his wagon master, and he said, "You need to know that we need to cross this river, and we need to do it as soon as possible." And so he went to bed. And his wagon master, he gathered up his troops and he said, "Men, we need to cross this river as soon as possible." They gathered all the stones and all the wood they could find, and they built the bridge, and they crossed the entire river with the whole army. And he comes back and he gets Stonewall out of bed early in the morning. He says, "General, you need to know that your military and your artillery are all across the river on the other side." And then he asked this question, "Where are my engineers?" And of course, his commander said, "They're still in the tent." But here's my point. If you have Jesus Christ in your life and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you'll get more done in one night than you will in 100 years working under your own power. That's the power I'm talking about of Jesus Christ here this morning, that you and I need to realize. We need to depend upon God. So that brings me to one more question. The final one, by the way. This is the one I send you home with today. And here it is. It's on the bottom of your screen, but I'll read it to you. Is the Holy Spirit just part of your theology? Is he just the third person of the Trinity, like Dr. Wilson thought for so many years? Or is he an important part of your daily walk with God? That's my question for you today. Who is the Spirit to you? And what are you doing to yield in your life? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you after hearing the life of David and Saul and how different they were. Lord, may we be a people who love you, who commune with you, who worship you, who gather as the church. Lord, may Jesus work in us. Lord, may the people see something different in us. Lord, hope, peace, light, forgiveness, and a boldness, too, as we live life. Lord, may we live to what you've taught us in Scripture. Lord, may your Spirit just be lit inside of us today like a great raging fire. Lord, I pray for your people today that have heard this message. Lord, may it not leave here on empty ears. May it resound in their hearts, and may it change them forever. And Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand.